Hey everyone, this episode of Star Trek The Next Conversation is brought to you by Chocograms.
Chocograms.
Gift tins full of sweet surprises. You've heard us talk about them. If you haven't ordered yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Halloween's around the corner. Why don't you get some limited time only Halloween bark? Ooh, spooky. It's all your favorite Halloween candies blended into Belgian milk chocolate for a fun new way to enjoy. They're available for a very limited time and in limited quantities, so be sure not to miss out. And you can get them in a wine glass or a half-pound stand-up bag. That's why I'd get the half-pound stand-up bag, let's be honest. I'd order two and make it 1 pound of stand-up bag. Andy, let's talk a little bit about how great these folks have been. They've been pretty much our only other advertiser since Ripley's, and we thank them for that. And you can help us out by thanking them for supporting the show by ordering some delicious chocolate from the Chocograms folks. It's a promo code. You know, if you haven't ordered yet and you want to save a little bit of money, you can get 15% off by using the promo code Frank Sinatra Come On at checkout. Frank Sinatra, come on at checkout. 15% off your first order. Andy, I've said so much. Do you have anything to say about the Chocograms folks?
I like candy. I like to mix things in candy. I like Halloween because there's more candy around.
That is pretty much the best sales pitch I've ever heard for anything.
And I really enjoy it.
He likes candy.
I enjoy the chocolate. I enjoy the stuff in the chocolate. How can you go wrong?
You can't go wrong. And that's go to ilovechocograms.com. ilovechocograms.com. And at checkout, enter the promo code Frank Sinatra, come on, for 15% off your first order. And a big thank you to everybody from the Chocograms folks for placing orders during the donation window to help with donating to charity. In the honor of the late, great Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that was wonderful. And they thank you. We thank you. Get some more chocolate. Enjoy yourselves. And let's hunker down. Halloween is here. Spooky.
Spooky.
Now I'm going to go have
Chuck
a dream
not haunted.
Where I'm flying. That is a joke you will not get until you've listened to the entire episode.
Here's flash forward.
Bye, everyone. I mean, here's the show, everyone. Podcast, The Final Frontier.
These are the conversations of the friendship Matt Myra and Andrew Secunda.
Their continuing mission.
To seek out old adventures with contrived civilizations.
To boldly watch episodes that one of them has watched before. Hey everyone, welcome to Star Trek The Next Conversation, the Earth's number one podcast for all things Alpha Quadrant, or number five. It doesn't matter. I'm Matt.
I'm Andy.
And of course, as soon as I find
Sorry.
Him, where did he go?
I can also change the
Did he run away? Where is he?
And oh. I'm Andy.
Oh no. I just have Gul Dukat.
I'm Gul Dukat, Commander of the Second Order.
There you go.
Something.
There's some people on our Twitter feed that were suggesting other things where it was, and I'm something from Star Trek. So I'm hoping people will send in those individual sound bites.
Yeah. In the meantime. Oh, I found him.
And I'm Devanani Rao.
Hey, Devanani. Hey, Alexander.
All right, everybody. It is time. We're going to do Birthright Part 2. Here we go.
Matt, would you have them watch this episode?
I mean, you're just going to close the loop. Close the loop. It's the only reason you should watch it. It's Closed Loop. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what I have to say about it. And in regards...
It's a pull quote for a sequel. Just be like, I saw this because I felt I was obligated to.
Please, I had to close the loop. I wish I didn't, but I did. And with that, we shall go to the Admiral's Club.
Go to iTunes, leave a five-star review, and join the Admiral's Club.
Matt, how do they get into the Admiral's Club?
Oh, well, Andy, it's in the song, and I'll tell you in a sentence. All you have to do to become an admittee of the Admiral's Club is write a five-star review on Apple Podcasts and say whatever you'd like. As long as it's five stars, you'll be in, and Andy will select one or two or however many he feels like that week to read and single out. Who is it this week, Andy?
This week, our first is from Admiral Jellicoe.
Wow, he got a promotion.
Yeah, he got a promotion. He's doing a lot more damage upstairs, I bet you. Really telling every captain how things
should
be done.
Five shifts.
And the title is Tapestry of TNC. After eating too much bad pizza, Q shows Andy a world where he has never come up with the name The Next Conversation. Matt has way more free time, but still longs for an outlet to talk about Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Andy has started a podcast with Omar about types of cat food to the delight of several. Nobody knows what Frank Sinatra was up to during the run of TNG. COVID was actually not a thing in some bizarre fluke of the Q continuum. Wow, we caused it somehow, Matt. That's not good.
Seems likely.
But a world without Matt and Andy's Star Trek discussions is not worth the end of a global pandemic. Ooh, bold statement. And Andy makes Q give him the good pizza instead to set the timeline right.
Wow. I didn't know so much was at stake.
Yeah. The second one is...
Five stars.
Five stars. Write whatever you want, as long as you give us five stars. You're in the running. Second one is from Litefa, and it says, face blindness, ? Listen to somebody who claims to have face blindness recognize a shocking amount of obscure actors. 10 out of 10 best TNG podcast out there. Thank you, Litefa.
Yeah, I've brought this up before as well. I don't understand Andy's face blindness. But
I feel like you you hammer me from both sides. I think you both make fun of me when I don't
it's
recognize
there and it's
an
not
actor
there.
I have cast and at the same time. You make fun of me for not having it.
It's there and it's not there, everyone.
I'm a complicated person. That's it for the Admiral's Club.
All right, let's head in to the United Federation of Planets President's Circle. Ah, yes, it's the President's Circle. Would you like to have access to this club? All you got to do is go to patreon.com, support the podcast, and join at the President's Circle level, and you'll get yourself four additional episodes of this program every single month. This month, we're going to Enterprise, to Voyager. Follow Matt and Andy along the journey with Archer and Janeway. And if you want to join us at the lieutenant's level, you'll just have to listen to us go along with Archer. There you go.
Yeah.
Andy, you tend to single out a couple of people or a person from the President's Circle and award them the Christopher Pike Medal of Valor for a particularly enjoyable comment on our Patreon. Who is it this week?
It's Lieutenant Ben Plavin, who writes us in regards to Birthright Part 1. Worf has been captured a lot and has never committed suicide. Which I find to be accurate.
Well, enjoy your medal for pointing out the obvious.
There you go. With that, we're in the Priority 1 messages.
Oh, goody two-shoes.
Priority 1 message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
All right, Andy, the Priority 1 message, of course, reserved for those in the Patreon to get heard here on the podcast by everybody listening. What's the first message?
First is from Lieutenant Frederick Rombouts, who had a lot to say, which was funny. What happens if you order Riker's eggs from the DS9 replicator? Do they actually come out delicious? If you order good
excellent
pizza,
question.
It's a really good question. If you order good pizza, does it come out as bad pizza? If you order bad pizza, does it come out as good pizza? He also says, and I would watch the hell out of a buddy out of the buddy movie Worf and the Mole Man, which I think was something we discussed last week.
For sure.
Yeah, it just sounds great. And lastly, he jumped back to Tapestry and said, is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Matt?
I had to react to the time travel.
No, I understand.
Wow.
I guess, yeah, maybe he's traveling back in time. Maybe Q is sort of making him relive his life and he noticed some other things.
Oh,
about
I can't
episode.
Believe it.
I hope you do it right this time.
Wow.
Frederick. Also, I realize we're past Tapestry by now, so it's a long shot.
We're back in time. But
I'm curious about Matt and Andy's take on my other long-standing belief. You okay over there? long-standing belief about Tapestry that Picard would have died on the operating table had it not been for Q's intervention. I've always thought that Q restored Picard's life. Parentheses having said that earlier and having said earlier in the episode that this was within his power. And decided to do so after Picard showed that he had learned his lesson. Because Picard was willing to die the man he was, Q restored him back to life as the man he was. Q was testing Picard and helping him learn a lesson, perhaps as part of the Q Continuum's ongoing judgment of humankind.
The Q Continuum's semi-annual outreach to humanity.
To evaluate whether they are worth keeping around. Sorry if this breaks the rules, and no, that's fine. He was worried about breaking threads. The reason I kind of brought this up was that it did strike me too that it sort of jumped over that Q basically says you're dead, mm-hmm. You already died.
Yep. At the what did he say? What the feeble hands of
at the oh, what was it?
Oh. Well,
it's like basically questionable medical hands of Beverly Crusher. But I guess my question is, he doesn't even set it up as a conditional thing of like, well, if you do something, then I'll let you live. It's just suddenly at the end, he lives.
Q never reveals all the rules of his games. You know,
I guess he implied that he's already dead, so this didn't make a difference.
Right. Hang on, I just want to hear the line.
And I'm Devin Anirol?
Yes.
And I'm God. You are not God. Blasphemy. You're lucky I don't cast you out or smite you or something. The bottom line is, your life ended about 5 minutes ago under the inept ministrations of Dr. Beverly Crusher.
There it is, the inept ministrations. I would never have landed on that, so thank you, John DeLancey.
Good word, smithery.
Okay, so, yes. Do you think that is what happened? Or, I mean, there's still the whole thing of, like, did he actually have that, or was it like a fever dream?
Was it just a dream, right? I guess, actually, that argues toward it being a dream, unless you want to assume that Q just randomly decided, all right, I'm done with my fun, you can live.
There's nothing random about Q.
Isn't it all random?
I suppose.
Is it all random or is it none of it random?
Whimsical.
That's the question.
Well, you know, that's up to Q.
Lieutenant Commander Cosmo Moore writes us, how far Worf has come since season 2? From a snarling beast to a prune juice Zen Tai Chi warrior. I really like the groove Dorn and the writers found by this point and into DS9. Would you say, Matt, that who he is in this episode is kind of who he is in DS9? Or is it he still ways to go?
No, he's pretty, as soon as the ponytail comes, honestly. I feel like once the ponytail comes, that's Worf.
That's it. That's
honestly.
The beard. That's Worf's beard, even though he already has a beard.
Yeah, Worf's ponytail is not unlike Frakes' beard.
Yeah. That's it for the Priority One messages.
Okie dokie, let me queue up.
Queue up. That's another good episode.
I mean,
title.
Let me walk towards the door.
I wonder if it would be the British meaning or if it would be the American meaning. Queue up.
I think it's whatever you want it to be. Depends on who he's talking to. If he's talking to Patrick Stewart, it's the British meaning. Now do we have hails, Andy?
We have a couple of hails.
That's great, so I can open that.
Captain, we are being hailed.
All right.
The first is to our Twitter feed, which is from Louise Lachlan. I hope I'm getting close, Louise. I think she might be a lieutenant. And she writes us, we're listening to old episodes of Star Trek TNC. Remember when the Andes was actually going to be an event? Yeah, we were very naive then. Just on episode 21, where Secunda and Myra discuss the Disco season 1 trailer, and with Q like all-knowing foresight, Secunda says that Giorgio's chair on the Shenzo looks like it's from the Mirror universe.
But it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Andy wanted everything to be from the Mirror Universe.
It looked very Imperial and could be Mirror University.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, it ties into the Mirror Universe.
Sure.
You're just trying to take away all-knowing from me, that's all.
Well, I don't think you're all-knowing. Q is all-knowing.
Q doesn't even seem to be all-knowing. I think I know as much as Q.
Sure.
I think I'm close at any rate. Here's another hail. I'm a Star Trek fan and also a theater nerd. So I was really excited to get... These are all sort of old people who are sort of getting caught up on the show. I was really excited to get to the episode First Contact, which not only has B.B. Newirth, who is a veteran theater actor, but George Hearn, famous for shows like Sweeney Todd and La Cage aux Folles. Folles? How do you say that? La Cage aux Folles. Any idea?
You said it the first time is how I've always heard it. La Cage aux Folles.
Great. I found it especially funny when the following dialogue
took
place
in the birdcage. The birdcage. Let's just say the birdcage.
It's the birdcage. Come on. Let's Americanize. Let's do the Mike Nichols version.
Come on.
This is a dialogue we had on the show. I said, this is George Hearn, who had no claim to fame for me, but has been in everything. And then Matt responds with, do you think anyone, like, that's their favorite part of the show, is like, who is Andy going to know this from? and this lady, Maddie, says, I got really excited because that was me. I was that person who couldn't wait for Andy to bring up some exciting George Hearn trivia, which I don't remember doing. I guess I might have rattled off some credits. Also, this episode is the first episode of 2020, and I'm starting to have anxiety because I can't warn Matt and Andy about 2020 and how they're going to find out about everything.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
First Contact was the first episode of 2020. That feels like
that seems so
long ago.
I know. That's insane.
What?
I also think that there was probably some trauma where, like, everything pre-quarantine is just, like, seems like another era.
I don't, you know, because, like, well, I'll tell you, quarantine weirdly coincided with the entire, like, the end of Picard was the start of quarantine, if I remember correctly.
Do you think Picard did it?
Uh-huh. I do.
And she ends with, thank you so much for keeping Star Trek fans company during the strange time we find ourselves in. Thanks, Maddie Bundy. Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you. And I appreciate the look back in time.
Wow! That is,
we're back in time!
For the hail.
Wow! They're closing the hails.
This is a new career. Enthusiastic Matt is interesting character.
I feel like
for you.
Someone should react to us going back in time. I mean, we can't just play it super cool.
Sure. I'm sure this must have been a question at some point on this podcast.
Sorry, Andy, I played that.
Where would you go back in time to?
Where would I go? What'd you say? I was playing A Hailing Frequencies Closed. I didn't hear a word you said.
Where would you go back in time to?
Currently?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably pull a Gray Sports Almanac situation. I'd probably just go back in time, play some nice bets at the sports book.
Oh. You just do it to make a profit in your present day, as opposed to
No, I don't need to see a world event. The butterfly effect.
What about the Beatles?
What about them?
I don't know.
You couldn't hear anything. Maybe I'd go see them in Hamburg. But like, I wouldn't go see them.
There was no screaming in Hamburg?
Not really. But they were, they say they were at their best. I'd go to like, I'd also like go to the Royal Command performance because they were polite and you could hear the Beatles.
I wonder if they were like, man, this is a, this crowd is really dead tonight.
I think that they kind of were. Hang on, let me just bring it up because oh boy, I love this. Hey everyone, I'm typing, so don't worry about what's happening.
I mean,
here,
they know what's happening
the intro John gave tells you everything you need to know about it. Ready? Here it is.
Defined.
Oh wait, now what is this? I don't need that. I need to go back and hit this.
For our last number, I'd like to ask your help. Would the people in the cheaper seats clap your hands? And the rest of you, if you just rattle your jewelry.
So cheeky.
And the Queen's there. And she enjoys it.
We'd like to sing a song called Twist and Shout.
One, two, three. And you can hear
not
it.
Even any, not even any.
Gracious.
Whoa, so many things are happening. But yeah, and you could hear the Beatles singing and playing. I mean, come on. That's a talented band, guys. Those Beatles, they were good. But anyway, to answer Andy's question, I would not travel back in time to see the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
It just feels like a waste when I could be traveling back in time to, you know what I'd do? I'd tell young Matt to take part in the Apple stock employee purchase program.
He's just doing it for profit.
Instead of wasting. Well, look, because then
profit, Matt.
Yeah.
This is a lifetime opportunity.
It's all for profit.
At least
everybody.
Kill Edith Keeler or something.
No, I can't do that. Maybe. You know, that's all I would do. Thanks, everybody, for listening to what I would do back in time. Andy, what would you do? Time traveling Andy Secunda?
I would go back and tell young Matt not to invest in the Apple program.
He doesn't know who to listen to, himself or a stranger.
That's evil, you. You become evil in the future. Don't listen to him.
What was I gonna do? I don't even know. Oh yeah, so we finished the Hales. That means it's time to talk about the episode, everybody.
Face group.
We gotta go to the face group section. Here we go.
Photoshop Matt with Data's cat, and who put Andy's face on that? Just take a look, it's on Facebook, it's in our face group.
All right, it's the Facebook group. The face group, go to Facebook and join our face group.
Little bonus jingle. It's very brief, and it was just because it amused me, because it was something that I don't know if I mentioned it. I definitely thought about it, that when Data is walking around
in his dream,
uh-huh, there's this weird, oh, maybe it's because it's a dream, there's this weird corner of the Enterprise with like these chairs.
That's the lounge area. We used to see that all the time in like season 2. It was often there.
Really?
Yeah, that's
so
a corner
strange
hallway. It's actually, if I remember correctly, it's like around the corner from Troy's office. You know, that's how the set. That's how the set is built.
That's the thing. I was going to say it looks like a dentist waiting room. So maybe it's.
Yeah,
maybe it's Troy's waiting room.
I believe you definitely see it in that episode where they rescue the 21st century. Oil man, remember?
Uh-huh.
And the guy.
Oh, you see it in that episode.
Yeah, and the guy that wants Data to replicate him a guitar.
Yeah.
the guy that pulls a me and wants to check on his investments.
That's you. So Jack McMorrow writes, "Why are there random chairs in the corridors of the Enterprise?" And then Andrew Harkins added, "Maybe for podcasts."
That's exactly right. That's
maybe
where we
that
do
is
it
where,
from.
That is where we are.
I didn't even think about us having a seat. Might as well.
I always imagined us standing awkwardly.
Yeah,
in the,
I always imagined us standing.
Or rather,
with a
that's what we're doing.
Fold
so
out.
We should find that.
I imagine reality, which is us standing at a folding table,
like one that folds out of the wall.
No.
Oh, you just,
no, just
we
like
set it up.
We just
there.
Put it up there, and
like this one we have in front of us.
We keep waiting for security to get rid of it, but they haven't yet.
I think they assume that we're on some sort of task for the Enterprise. or they're fans of the pod.
Maybe.
That's it for the face group.
All right.
And that's it for the hills.
I could close it by hitting this. I think. Oh, no. That's not the one. And you know why that's not the one? Because I don't even have this turned on. Here we go. Try that again, everybody.
This is the end of the face group.
Yeah.
Oh, it's triumphant. If you'd like to send a hail to us directly, it's sttncpod@gmail.com. Or you can send it to our Priority One messages and get a Priority One clearance on our Patreon on the post for this episode. You can reach Matt at Matt Myra on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Andrew Secunda on
you
Instagram
are.
And at Secunda on Twitter. Or you can send a voice hail to 816-TREK-TNC.
Now, does that mean that on Twitter you speak for all of the Secundas? I'm sorry, on Instagram? Which one are you, at Secunda?
Yeah, I have positioned myself as the
family
as
spokesperson.
The voice of Secundas. Of the Secundas, yes.
Do they ever
say I'm not representing their opinions correctly? Yes, like, you know, we have enough of those arguments within the family itself that I don't think anyone's paying attention to Twitter.
Good. You saw your chance and you seized it. Congratulations, yeah. Andy.
Thank you. Like a Romulan.
Yeah, like a true Romulan who is so proud of himself for accomplishing living in peace by capturing Klingons. We'll talk to it about it in a second here. It's time to talk about the episode.
We crossed the many doors, the many places. Your hails made us think of all your faces. Sit comfortably in your little Borg node. Let's talk about this week's episode.
That's right, everybody. It's time to talk about the sixth season episode. 17. Birthright Part 2, which aired March 1st, 1993. Andy, what was shaking out there in the world in March of 1993?
Well, the number one song in the U.S. was I Will Always Love You. The number one song in the U.K. was O Carolina by Shaggy. Yeah,
that's right, Andy's new favorite song. O Carolina.
Matt, I messed up.
Oh, no, what is it? Is it not?
I forgot a prime corrective. That was what was going
to happen. Oh, well, I don't know how to reverse out of this. I guess we're going to have to time travel. Whoa, hey, wow,
oh,
we're
no,
going back
whoa,
in time.
Hey,
it's unbelievable.
Time here this we is go. What I would have spent my time travel on.
We're back. Here we go.
Time for retrospective.
Oh, I messed this up.
Truth is our objective. It's a prime corrective because Matt and he got it wrong.
One's a big one.
Oh, God.
From the Ultimate Trekker.
What did I do?
No, it was me. Well, I guess you did, you reinforced my stupidity, which was we were trying to come up with what the Q episodes were, and I said the Q and the Gray, and you said yes in TNG.
Oh, that was Voyager.
Hyde and Q is the season one Q episode where Q gives Riker the Q powers.
Damn.
And so there must have been a
stupid.
Lot of nerds shouting in their headsets that day.
I think I was just happy to hear an actual Q title. Oh, yeah. Guys, I messed up real bad. I should have known Andy doesn't know titles of TNG episodes.
I was riding high for one episode.
Wow, I was really proud of him. But he did remember the plot, which was more important because that allowed me to go, oh, yes, that was a different episode. All right, let's travel.
Two pieces of Q history.
Forward in time. Oh, no, more prime corrections.
And then there was one more. It was from Neil Studd that leads into this next thing, which is prime corrective for this day in Trek, probably best put in the latter. You said, oh, so I guess it does fit here. You
well,
said
hang on,
last
we gotta
week,
travel forward in time now.
Okay.
Wow. Hey, whoa.
Whoa. Hey, the present again.
Oh, here we are. We did it, everybody. Now that we're talking about Birthright Part 2, which aired March 1st, 1993, Andy, what's the prime corrective for here?
Well, Neil Studd said, he said last week that Shaggy's O Carolina was number one in the UK, but it didn't top the charts until late March. Now it has. That's what we're listening to. The number one for Birthright's Parts 1 and 2 continued to be No Limit by 2 Unlimited, which spent 5 weeks at the top of our charts, despite neither of you having heard of it. Maybe give it a listen this week instead of Whitney.
Oh.
It's a doozy.
Well, here it is, everybody.
That is... I mean, I don't know offhand, but I have to assume that England was really into ecstasy at this point.
There's no limit, everybody.
That is some terrible music. Nothing personal.
So hang on. I have to figure this out. Were they always called Unlimited and wrote a song No Limit, or did like the song come and then they were like, we got to name ourselves something? There's two of us.
I mean, I think it's their theme.
Here's the rap part. Hang on. And everybody wants.
I think it's like when Public Enemy says Public Enemy number one in the song. You know, they're trying to work their name into the title.
By the way, they're still kicking.
They're out on the road, you mean?
They're still alive. You could go see them in Canada, Winnipeg. They're playing in Winnipeg. Well, this was prior to the coronavirus shutdown, but they're still touring, and they're still together, the two of them.
Maybe I'm not familiar enough. Maybe I need to educate myself on No Limit. On Two Unlimited, rather. I'm playing on a rope, I got no fear. The sound from my mouth is a rap you hear. A valley too deep, no mountains too high. Research up, touch the sky, now you're trying to dismiss.
This is the song. This is them performing the song. This was added in August of 2020.
Are they playing anything, or are they just sort of working the crowd?
They're working the crowd with their microphones, and there you go, everybody.
And then, like, there are a bunch of guys on keyboards? Is that what it is?
Nothing. There's background dancers in this. Was there anybody on a keyboard? I don't see a single instrument being played. Two Unlimited is just two people. And that's
with a phone.
That is more information about them than anyone ever expected to have on this podcast. So there you go. Let's see what they're singing here in 2016.
Well, in 1993, the number one movie was Falling Down.
Oh, sure. I remember the film.
Sure.
Michael
the
Douglas.
Number one book, Bridges of Madison County by
Hank
Robert James
Pym.
Waller. That's right. Was he also Hank Pym in that movie?
Was that an unspoken yes.
Hank Pym backstory?
And he was just angry at Stark the whole movie. That's why he went to that McDonald's and got real angry about them not serving breakfast 5 minutes after the cutoff time.
He was so mad. Number one TV show that week was 60 Minutes. The Burst that week, singer Bobby Christina Brown. And events, the first ever ESPY Awards are held. Beavis and Butthead premieres.
Oh, wow. A lot happening out there in the world. And none more important than what was happening with the chairman of the board, ladies and gentlemen. What was he up to? Let's find out with our favorite segment.
Frank Sinatra, come on!
Da, 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 da. It's time for that segment everybody hates.
Time for Frank Sinatra, come on.
Andy, what was going on with the chairman?
Well, it's early March, and that means it's time for the annual Frank Sinatra Invitational Golf Tournament in Palm Springs.
Oh, I love it. Is that at Indian Ridge Country Club? Where is it?
It's the Palm Desert Marriott.
There we go. Okay, sure.
The highlights, of course, is a concert by the chairman himself, featuring a 7-song set list. For some reason, he was still ending with New York, New York as the big finale.
For some reason, why not?
I don't know. He's in Palm Springs, I guess the point. Because he didn't have a Palm Springs song, interestingly, even though he was heavily invested there. How far is Palm Springs from Vegas?
Same as here.
Huh.
I know that.
Interesting.
So hard because every place I go, I see how long it is to get to Vegas.
You would have thought that Frank would have gotten his home away from L.A. closer to Vegas.
Well, you know, it's easier to get to the private airport there, I think, than it is in L.A.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're like, I mean, Palm Springs, I love a winter Palm Springs situation. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
We, you know, yeah. very frequently would rent a house there over Christmas. So I get what Frank was on about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
that's it.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks. No problem, buddy.
And
thank you, Matt.
Let's talk to Dr. Trek himself, Larry Nemechek, and read what he says this episode is about. Written by Renee Acheverria and directed by Dan Curry. Held captive by an unlikely peaceful Romulan Klingon colony on Korea 4, Worf discovers that the tale of his father's survival that lured him here was untrue. Kept hostage to the Klingon survival during the capture will not dishonor their survivors. Worf learns that from Klingons Lakor and Garal of their eventual peace in the camp, and even Garal's marriage to the Romulan leader Tokoth, somewhat of a rebel himself for keeping them alive and staying there with her. But Worf, hating Romulans since his family's death at Khitomer, is disgusted by the intermarriage and his realization that their lovely daughter Bael, who was attracted to him, is a half-breed. Jeez, you're really Dr. McCoying it over here.
Very intense, that scene.
An escape try foiled by the cynical young Toke leaves Worf a caged animal in the compound, but even more so, he is disturbed to see the Klingon youths ignorant of their heritage. A wary Tokoth and Lakor allow his stories and teachings, even letting Toke go on the go with Worf for the hunt. But Toke and the other young youth grow so restless following the truths that Tokoth sadly decides to kill Worf rather than lose the historic peace of the village. But the youths and the elders stand with Worf, who takes the youths with him under the guise of crash survivors while keeping the elders a secret and their honor intact. I mean, does it really keep their honor intact? You know they're dishonorable. Come on.
Let themselves get captured like a bunch of scrubs.
Ugh. God, they're the worst at being Klingons.
So gross.
We died at Khitomer.
We were captured. It was worse than death.
Well, why did you allow it to happen?
We had no choice. We were defending an outpost on the perimeter. The Romulans took out our shields. The next blast rendered us unconscious. And when we awoke...
But you have, like, super thick Klingon skulls.
It is true.
How unconscious could you be, really, Garal?
We were prisoners, unarmed and shackled.
We were interrogated for 3 months. We tried to starve ourselves, but they kept us alive.
The Romulan commander Tokoth thought he was being kind.
The Romulans hoped to trade our lives for territorial concessions, but the Klingon High Council refused to negotiate. They would not acknowledge that their warriors had been taken prisoner.
And when it was clear that we would be of no use to them, Tokoth offered to let us go.
But we knew that our families believed we had fallen in battle.
I mean, this episode, by the way, not a ton happening on the good old Enterprise.
Not at all.
Really, just a lot of waiting around for Worf.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's also, I'm sure they explained it. I apologize. They're waiting for a rendezvous with the Iridian?
Yes.
When did they agree to a rendezvous with the Iridian?
I assume Worf was like, hey, I'm leaving. Can you pick me up here? I'll rendezvous with you guys. I'm the chief of security. Okay, Worf. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know. But I don't remember that being
said. It wasn't
said. So
some things can happen off screen. I don't think it's that. You know, otherwise, the Enterprise has nothing to do.
it's only obtrusive because we don't spend any time with them. So it's like, oh, let's check in with them. It's like, what? What's going on?
You know what's funny is
I don't even know.
I remember more being made of Data's dreams. Like, I really expected more Data in this episode.
I was sure that we were going to go back to Data. It was crazy to me. I really didn't think about it until the end of the episode. Also, I got to say, I enjoy a lot of the Worf stuff in this episode, but you don't need to spend all the time you spend in this episode establishing all those things. It is such a slow burn to him slowly convincing all the, you know, all the Klingons to be Klingons.
It really is a very slow burn.
She's like, let's go back to Data.
And it's also very strange to have, like, this, you know, just Worf be so close-minded.
It's very jarring when he's like, what did he call her, an abomination?
Yes. Yeah. Something, something akin like that. To that.
Like, Jesus.
Here's some fun trivia.
Cool.
Fun trivia about the episode, everybody. Over the December break, all the live plants and trees in the jungle and garden sets were left by accident on the dark sound stages and had to be replaced.
Huh.
That's just your greens guy not doing his job.
I'm shocked that they were real. That's kind of a nice touch.
Gintok spear.
What of it?
Have your parents taught you nothing?
What of it?
Obviously not.
Battle. Not. Tilling soil.
You know, there's. This episode has perhaps the greatest specific acting of all time.
Yeah.
And it is. I'm just going to jump ahead here real quick. And we can jump back if you need to. But it is when Worf gets, like, so fucking bored that he starts doing his Klingon Tai Chi.
Oh yeah,
the guy who starts to do it first. If everyone takes out the text and jumps ahead to about 15 minutes and 30 seconds into the show, Andy, keep an eye on the guy that appears over
Matt,
his.
I should tell you, I'm not in sync.
Why not? Why'd you leave the party?
Know. It doesn't work.
Come
anymore.
Back to the party.
I says I'm in the party, but then I can't see anything.
But it says you left the party. Come back to the party.
Nothing. I've never been in sync.
We're having
time.
A party. Do you want me to do a new party?
No, I guess I should, but I am.
77ZWT?
Let's see.
Oh, will Andy make it to the party? Find out next week on The Conclusion. We should have a song for you returning to the party or needing a party. Where does what?
7Z, yeah, I got it. But it's not, it doesn't start when you start.
77Z? WT? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start something?
Okay.
Oh, boy. I asked for a jingle. I might as well play the I Need Another Jingle thing.
Matt has asked for yet another jingle. There's one thing that he must understand. If we add more music to this podcast, there will be no space in it to talk.
Where are you?
Trying to find the episode.
So weird how I'm in it.
Do you see it now? I have to give you the thing.
Yeah, I need a link, bro. Mm-hmm. Give me the link, bro. Oh my god, this is taking so long.
Nope.
Oh, you didn't send me the link. You just sent me the party name. No, I can put that in. I'm punching it in.
All right.
RK. Oh no, it won't let me type it in.
All right, here's the link.
Okay. Now, let me copy and let me paste, and let's see what happens. All right, so I'm on this main page, and it's brought me to the season 6, and then it looks like we're both about to sync up here.
Now it's working. Although this is
part 2.
One.
No, it says part 2. I think we'll skip the recap. Okay. And then I'm going to jump to 15 minutes and 30 seconds in. Oh, now, finally, everyone, Andy, watch the specific acting happening behind Worf. Assuming you're still in sync. Are you in sync?
Yes.
Okay. Good, good, good. It's that. It's this guy right there over his right shoulder, who I believe jumps on board a little too quickly for my liking. He's making his move. He's trying
to. The one in the green or the one in the tan?
Green.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
This is the Mutt Bar.
Look at him back there.
The form clears the mind.
He's been...
And
look,
the body.
There's one thing you can say about all these people. They look bored. I don't know if they're happy, unhappy. I know that they're bored. That much I can tell you. Which actually kind of makes sense for what Klingons would be experiencing.
No, like this.
Just on a genetic level.
First, you must learn how to breathe. Stand tall as you can. No, take a wider stance.
You must stop.
These forms are the basis for Klingon combat. You would be wise to learn them.
I mean, think about all the scenes Dorne had to shoot.
It's true.
So many. But I did want to go to this Tokoth? Yes.
Tokoth.
And
his
reasoning.
The kid?
No, Tokoth is the Romulan captor.
Oh. Yeah. I don't think it's Tokoth.
Tokoth.
I was told that unless I stayed to oversee them myself, they would be killed. My decision ended my military career.
Why did you do it?
I don't expect you to understand. You're a Klingon.
Seems like a weird thing for
But I do expect you
to
understand
to
this. We've put aside the old hatreds. Here, Romulans and Klingons live in peace. I won't allow you to destroy what we have.
Do not deceive yourself. These people are not happy here. I see the sadness in their eyes.
That's not what I see when I look in my wife's eyes. I married a Klingon. So you see, when I warn you not to disrupt our lives here, I'm not...
I'm sorry.
You paused it. It's okay.
No.
Oh, no, wait. Now you're back. You can hit play. What is... How do you keep leaving? I don't understand how to leave. How do you leave?
I hit something accidentally. I apologize.
You know, you need
just hit whatever you need to hit.
You need
be fine.
I think I'm fine.
Speaking just as a joke.
You should do what I do, which is the Chrome is the browser that plays the video, and all the other webbing I'm doing during the show when I need to look something up, it happens in Safari.
Yeah, I do that now too.
But as a man protecting his family, do not test my tolerance.
Oh, that wasn't even the scene where he said what I wanted him to say.
What did you want him to say?
He's like so proud of himself for having accomplished what he says no one could accomplish but him. Which really makes...
Oh, that's at the end.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, I think he's doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's also smirking through the whole thing. So he's like saying things that are like, yes, you're talking about peace... Except you seem so smug and egomaniacal about it.
I mean, maybe he's so Romulan-like that he is deceiving, as Worf just said, you deceive even yourself.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. It's kind of a nice... I do give the episode credit on you sort of technically. His side, the Romulan side, is a side that is the most sort of morally upright. And in the end, they kind of make it very ambiguous and gray. whether these people are prisoners or not, and whether they're, you know, it's appropriate.
Well, it's the whole
sort of hiding the truth from their children.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's the whole, like, do you know, do you, are you not free if you know that you're not free? You know what I mean?
What do you mean? No.
That philosophical debate.
Are you free if you know you're not free?
Are you free if you don't know that you're not free? Like, if you think you're free to do whatever you, but so, like, the reality of it is that you're not.
The people in the Matrix, you mean?
Kind of. Yeah.
They're not free. At least that's the perspective of the Matrix.
Right. But not.
Except for Joe Pantoliano.
Yeah, Joey Pants wants to eat a steak.
Yeah, he wants to eat a steak.
That's Andy.
And he doesn't want to remember, also.
Andy is Joey Pants.
Captain Log, stardate 46759.2. The Iridian vessel Lieutenant Worf boarded at Deep Space Nine has failed to arrive for our scheduled rendezvous. It is now 12 hours overdue.
Still no sign of them in long-range scanners.
Contact DS9. Find out what they know about this Iridian trader.
Hopefully he filed a flight plan before he left the station.
It's the only chance we have of finding Worf.
And that's pretty much all we get of him.
Very strange. You had plenty of time. I mean, I understand that their perspective was like, well, we can't start a whole new story that we won't have time for, but you didn't need to spend all that time with Worf.
I mean, real weird. It's an interesting character sort of exploration. Also, we get some fun Kalis.
Body in his arms. He could not believe what his brother had done. Then, his brother threw their father's sword into the sea, saying, if he could not possess it, neither would Kalis. That was the last time the brothers would speak.
What happened to the sword?
Kalis looked into the sea and wept. For the sword is all he had left of his father. The ocean filled with his tears and flooded over the shore.
That is impossible.
No one could cry that much.
For you.
I cry a lot. I've never cried that much.
He was a great warrior.
You're making it up.
No. These are our stories. They tell us who we are.
It is late. It is time to sleep.
They're not free. They have a bedtime.
It is true. You know who I feel bad for in this episode is the Romulan guards. They're just sort of, you have to kind of stand there. The other people seem to be able to go about their lives and cook and hang out.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, I guess we have to execute this guy. I really just thought we were just here, you know?
I thought we were sort of just, you know, like decorative kind of, you know, like royal soldiers kind of a thing.
What are you saying? They love each other.
Romulans are treacherous. Deceitful. They are without honor.
My father is a good man. He is kind and generous. There is nothing dishonorable about him.
He took part in a cowardly attack at Khitomer. Thousands of Klingons were massacred, many of them women and children.
I don't know what you're talking about. My father came here to escape the wars. He would never kill anybody.
Ask him. Ask your mother. Tell them you want to know the truth.
There's also something very cult leader-y about that it's his camp, he has his guards, and then he also married one of the prisoners.
Oh, for sure. Weird. It's very strange. It is kind of cult-like.
Very.
And I think
disturbing.
They sort of don't... I don't think they spend enough time on that aspect of it.
They really don't. They kind of like gloss over it like, oh, well, that's a normal marriage, even though he's doing all these weird shifty things. Just to go back, because I was distracted. At the beginning, Worf says to them, why did you allow yourselves to be captured at the moment that he was just captured? And but I don't understand. Like, what is the Klingon rules? This guy's been captured constantly. He was even captured when he's blaming Klingons for being captured.
And it's also like, at this point, like
no, this one doesn't count because I'm discussing it with you. We're talking about it. So
like,
now I'm...
Shouldn't he then, like, try to kill himself?
Yeah, exactly. Technically, he should have just grabbed the guns or allowed himself to be shot or jumped the wall immediately.
Yeah.
Seems like it's a bad strategic plan, by the way, too. Or not allow, like, how long? Like, is it 10 minutes and then you got to kill yourself?
Yeah, what is the time limit on honor? When does honor completely fade? Like, do you get, like, a couple days? Do you get, like, a week? Do you get a minute and a half? What is it? Let me know. If you're a Klingon...
Let me check my honor meter. It's dropping drastically!
If you're a Klingon... write in and let me know. How long after you're captured should you kill yourself?
What is your number one?
We just received the Iridian's flight plan from Deep Space Nine.
He gets around. He's been to 3 different systems in this past week. He could have left Worf at any one of them.
Are any of these systems near Romulan space?
2 of them, the Nequencia and the Correa systems.
Let's head for the closer one.
Aye, sir.
Seems like Picard knows what Worf is up to.
I don't understand. Wait, did they figure it out in the last episode? Something was going on? They didn't have any contact with the Iridian.
No, they didn't. But did, like, Worf say something to Picard? I mean, even Worf at the end, when he's talking to Picard and...
Oh, wait, maybe it's through Troy, who we also don't see. Because he had those conversations with Troy.
Yeah. Why is she
why did they... Oh, maybe they arranged a rendezvous. A rendezvous. The Romulan would have trouble with that one. rendezvous with the Iridian through Troy's information?
That's,
I don't know. Whatever the case, it seems like it's all very implied.
That I don't have... I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I don't have a problem with much of anything in this episode other than the characterization of Worf and... like a little time lacking on the other side of this.
Worf says earlier when he's trying to make it up to the Klingon who's questioning him, like, well, how do you feel? How would you even feel about if you had found your father here? And he says, there is no room in my heart for shame. And it's like, what are you talking about? You were just losing your mind talking to Troy. Because you were so worried about every member of your family being shamed.
Right.
So I don't get it. The other thing I wanted to say is at 11:30, you don't necessarily have to go back for it unless you want to see it, for it's a visual. But when they're like near the storage containers, Worf is looking at the storage containers. And it really looks like he's looking at the storage containers with hate, like, my greatest enemy. Storage containers.
Well, that's really, that's why that's it's not a no, it's not a distraction. He hates the storage.
Oh, he's just trying to kill the storage containers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you understand how Worf operates?
You patach.
I gotta be honest with you. If I could throw a spear through a hoop, I don't know why he immediately was like, let's go hunting for real. Like, that's where I would be like, whoa, I just threw a spear through a hoop, guys. I'm not going hunting for some fucking beast. What are you talking about? It's unclear. How does this game work? You roll it and knock over the things?
It seems like everybody has different rules. Worf's version is you throw a spear through it.
Yeah, and that's how somehow you get points? I don't understand. How many points do you get?
It hones the skills of the hunt.
Their version really does seem like a child's version.
We have replicators
here. Crap around the yard. Yeah. Like, let's make a game out of it.
It's also like weird that they don't have like a holodeck or something there, or... I don't know. Like, I'm unclear on like what their technological level is. They have replicators, but I guess you want to insulate them so much from the outside world that you're not going to have like communications devices, right?
People living in peace have no entertainment.
Oh God, it's terrible.
Did we pass the the singing scene? Or is that coming up?
That comes up later.
Your arm is strong.
Come hunt with me. it's here.
I mean, I don't care.
He gave his word.
Are you seriously suggesting that we open the gates and let him wander free? With only a boy as his guard.
23 years ago, I gave you my word.
And we've been best friends ever since.
All this time?
And then you married my sister. Ooh, another complication.
Father, if I wanted to visit Romulus or the Klingon homeworld, would I be allowed to go?
Oh, Jesus.
Kala!
I'd love to know what that is. What is that? Is that a deer?
I don't know. Some kind of a space hog.
No, I know, but like, what is? What did the prop master use?
Oh, I see. What is the actual thing?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm surprised that Nemechek doesn't put it in his book.
Yeah, with a creature that looks like a giant shaved mole.
Oh no! Is it the remains of Worf's best friend, Moley?
We eat well. Get that off my table.
See, he's really egotistical.
Do not kill an animal unless you intend to eat it.
Get rid of it.
I intend to, Toka.
Also, it's very hierarchical, the way that everyone is seated. So it's like he's like always the sort of, you know, the honored guest at every meal.
Yeah, he's at the head of the table. It's his thing. Yeah. It's a very ego-driven, I think.
It's very Romulan.
Yeah, I bet they have a back door that's really the front door. What?
Not until it's cooked.
We actually generally today, like raw things, but I get the idea.
But that is not all I learned. I discovered that warrior's blood runs through my veins. I do not know how or why, but we have forgotten ourselves. Our stories are not told. Our songs are not sung. Tonight, as we came
right,
home,
right.
We sing a song of victory. A song known only to me as a lullaby, but it is a warrior's song. Bada to maul, fire streaks the heavens. Shoja to roll, battle has begun.
The universal translator is working overtime here.
Ake-o. Yasha ke o Majak Odu Shidak Maju Padak Chaba Burak Chuko.
The guy on the left really is like, I think I know the words to this. I'm gonna start singing.
I kind of see this as the Klingon equivalent of a slow clap in a movie that turns into everybody clap.
Yeah, for sure.
That's basically what this scene is.
You know of any place, any time in history,
where is True Colors
when Klingons and Romulans have lived together in peace? We have despised each other, fought each other for centuries, except here, on this remote planet, Romulans and Klingons live together in harmony. No government, no leader, has ever done what I have done here.
And what about Tok? I saw what happened to him when he caught the scent of his prey on the wind. For the first time in his life, he felt powerful, and that is what he has been denied living here. And that is what you have tried to take away from him. Now, you may be content to sit here in the jungle and wither to old age, but Tok and the others have tasted what it is to feel truly alive, and they will not give that up now.
Enough of this. We could talk all night and not convince each other.
It's like the internet.
I offer you a choice. Live with us
as one of us.
Or
I will have you
sent somewhere bad.
And that is what you will have to do.
The Enterprise, perhaps.
Worf, consider this carefully.
That death will be honorable. The young people will see what
I
it is.
I did it. I found a way to be captured and put to death. I have defeated the honor chain. That's so dumb.
I will say,
yes.
I like the scene where they're hunting, and the kid getting his blood pumping, and it kind of puts me in touch with the idea of like why the Klingons are the way that they are, that they're almost genetically predisposed to this kind of activity, and so they feel like they're truly themselves when they're engaging in it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like that's their dopamine fix. Like, you can understand why a species would pursue something if it was like wired to be satisfied from it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, humans.
The way you and I are from pizza.
Humans still.
Like, if we never had pizza, and then suddenly Worf shows up and says, "Have some of this," you know, we would be like,
I'd say, "Get that like off myself. My table. Get it off my table."
The burrata too.
I will only eat this colorful plate.
Toke comes in with a box on his shoulder.
I have slayed the Joes. Wow. Let's see. Oh, many fans were disappointed that the story of Data's dreams from Birthray Part 1 is not continued in the second part, as they felt this was more interesting than Worf's experience.
Kind of agree.
That's a fun little trivia fact for you. I don't really count that as trivia. That's just somebody writing their opinion.
Klingons will not accept me for what I am.
And if I stay here, these Klingons will not accept me for what I am.
Why did you come here? We were so happy. We didn't know that there was anything missing in our lives.
That's how Joey Pants felt.
So you say you want the steak. Is that what you're saying, Bael?
That's exactly what Bael's saying. She wants a hunk of that Dorn.
Yeah, she is super into... She's super into Dorn.
Yeah.
Worf. You know,
Worf, we mean.
And we don't know if the actress was into Dorn, although why wouldn't you be?
Come on. Tall, dark, and handsome. Hello.
And what surprises me is she kind of, if she doesn't muscle him, she definitely forces the issue of, I feel like you love me. Do you love me? And he basically says, yeah, I love you. It's pretty crazy. They haven't known each other that long.
Look, it's the Klingons. They work on pheromones.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, Worf can love very quickly.
Yeah. I have questioned myself. I have spent the night considering my decision, challenging myself to justify whether it
is. Well, not the whole night. I got like 6-7 hours of sleep.
Right.
I actually sleep pretty well, you know?
Yeah,
what I do is I take a little melatonin.
I adjusted my sleep number. I'm down like a 50. It's very soft, you know, and that really helps me sort of ease into the night.
And I have reached the conclusion that it is absolutely necessary to put this man to death.
It wasn't where you think that speech is going. I've thought about it hard, and I've decided to stick with my first thought. Just get this guy out of here.
My instincts were right, as always.
I gave myself a good job, Tokoth.
Remember this always. I did great.
Real reasons you are here in this camp? The truth is a threat to you.
Enough. Stand ready.
That's Gil and Fred. That seems like that's what their names are.
Raise your weapons.
Father.
Stop this!
I found this at Goodwill. It's Halloween again.
You will have to kill me.
I have a spear, which I used to use for tilling soil.
I really feel like a jackass about it now.
Right now. Stand ready.
talk. Move away.
Take aim.
Oh boy, they're all Spartacus. Now we need three beams, so I will put in my weapon.
What's interesting is a lot of the people that position themselves behind the people that are already there. It's like, you know, a phaser is going to hit the other people first. You're not putting yourself in harm's way.
Well, look, it depends on, Romulan disruptors, they could probably go through a couple of people.
You think so?
Yeah, why not?
Tokar. Long ago.
Put down your pew pew.
When your captives asked to stay here, our hope was to avoid dishonoring our children on the home world. But perhaps over the years we lost sight of our children that we raised here.
Because of the manipulations of my cult-like leader husband.
But they will miss the weekly tributes where they write poems to me.
And we still haven't finished the 14th statue in honor of me.
Years ago, your parents made a great sacrifice for the sake of their families. Today, they do so again. For that, we must honor them. You must promise them never to reveal their secret. No one must know of this place.
A supply ships to you in a few days. They will take us. When they arrive, Tokoth will explain it to them.
You seem to have this all lined up.
Yeah, it's all worked out. You know,
Captain's logs.
Yeah?
The whole thing is built on this premise of that if you're a Klingon, you can't get captured. And the only reason these Klingons were captured is because they were bonked on the head.
They were knocked unconscious by a Romulan ship.
Like, is that the first time in history? Like, it just seems like some allowances should be made.
I think there's an underground network throughout the galaxy of captured Klingons who have secretly Klingons. Been like, oh, we can't tell anyone.
It seems kind of extreme. I'm not going to just kill myself because I...
But
happened
I also
to be on a ship that shook me around until I was knocked out.
Also don't want to dishonor my family, so... I will tell no one and hide here.
It'd be funny if when Worf got there, because they're all sort of somber and bored, if it was just the greatest time ever. There were like constant parties and people were getting drunk and it was... You know, just like a total fun time. They were hitting a.
I've yet to see a planet where I'm like, they know how to do it.
They were doing a mambo.
You know, even Risa is like contest. A little not my speed. So,
yeah,
I need a planet that is essentially, I guess, the Enterprise is my vacation planet.
Well,
you'd
want the Enterprise
duty.
And slot machines. That's your.
Well, I could go to the casino. That's in the holodeck whenever I want it.
Yeah. Now, would you enjoy that? Because it's fake.
No, I wouldn't,
winnings.
Andy. Thank you.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
Supplemental. Our search for Lieutenant
ruined a boy's dream.
Lieutenant Worf was cut short when we received a cryptic message from him requesting a rendezvous with a Romulan vessel. He has informed us we will be taking on passengers.
I love how the supply ship was a Romulan warbird.
It's good to see you.
I'm in this episode too, Worf.
He seems fine. We're giving everyone a thorough checkup in sickbay.
Except for you, Worf.
You're fine.
Thank you, Doctor.
Welcome home, Mr. Worf.
Thank you, sir.
Picard to bridge. Signal the Romulan ship that the last group is on board.
Aye, sir.
You found what you were looking for, Mr. Worf? No, sir. There was no prison camp. Those young people are survivors of a vessel that crashed in the Correia system 4 years ago. No one survived Khidmer. I understand.
So he says he understands.
Yes, that means that 100% Picard knows exactly what's going on.
How could he?
What do you mean? What ship crashed? Are you kidding me? There's no missing. These people have no files of being missing. I'm Captain Picard of the Enterprise. You don't think I can put this together, Worf? You leave
what?
Looking for your father, and then you arrive here with multiple children that are like
he's
the
not
exact.
Putting it together that,
they're the exact age. They're all the everyone coming off the ship is the exact age of everyone that would be born at that outpost after Khidmer.
Well, something weird is going on that you're not telling
me.
He doesn't know what it is.
He put it all together.
He put together that the Klingons were captured by Romulans, and then some Romulan made a peace planet.
They're going to have the Iridians. They're going to talk to the Iridian. The Iridian's going to give him the information. He already told Troy that the Iridian was telling him information that his father was alive. They were survivors of the Khidmer outpost, and they were on this planet.
Yeah.
So Worf leaves, finds nothing but conveniently a generation of Klingon children that would have been able to have been born in that period.
Look, I'm not saying that
Picard
isn't like...
Are you telling me that it was the Klingon equivalent of a magic school bus that was on a field trip, Mr. Worf, and crashed 4 years ago, and no one knew about it?
I agree with you that he thinks these Klingons are the descendants of the other ones. I just don't think he understands what the fuck happened down there.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, they wanted to leave because of... No, they didn't... He doesn't understand the intricacies of them wanting to explore their culture, but he for sure knows that Worf is wink, wink, nudge, nudging right now.
Yes, but he's saying, I understand. So really, the subtext, I guess, is just, I understand that there's some shit that went down there that you don't want to talk about.
I understand, and I will not look any further into it.
Yes, but he doesn't, it's implied like, I get what you're saying. And he doesn't know what he's saying.
I think he does get what he's saying.
The only thing that he gets what he's saying is
no.
There's something I don't want to talk about, and these are the kids.
Who understands Klingon culture on the Enterprise more than Picard?
I see. So you think he's deduced that they're down there and they're dishonored?
Yeah,
but they're
for sure.
They're down there.
Picard knows all that shit. Well, he's the arbiter of succession.
Worf certainly wasn't able to figure that shit out.
What do you mean? Worf figured it out.
Even he didn't figure it out. He thought that they were prisoners up until that he went down and talked to them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, Worf's, kind of dumb. Let's be honest.
He's certainly getting better at speeches, though. He gave, a Picard-level speech at the end.
Look, you spend enough time around speeches, you're going to have your own.
I think, Matt, if we ever really did somehow end up in that universe, I think the most important thing is that we learn how to give speeches. I think that's the most important thing.
I agree. I think there's no speech like the present. What? Doesn't make any sense. But I will say I'm very excited about next week's episode. That's going to be a lot of fun. Starship Mind.
What is it?
It's one I watch pretty frequently. But in this one, I guess we have to figure out the following.
Well, it's the MVC, yeah, the MVC. Only Matt and Andy know who it's gonna be. Will it be Data, Riker, Troy, or Dr. Crusher? If you don't like who they pick, just remember that this podcast is free.
Okay, MVC. Look, is it...
I feel like it's
Crusher.
Tok.
He's not in the crew.
Worf. I know. What does Crusher do? Just checks out.
Checks out.
Does everybody check up at the
end? Everybody's okay.
She gives everybody an able checkup.
Yeah.
And she doesn't even charge them.
I guess it's Worf, right? For
I guess it ought to be Worf. He doesn't really do anything.
What do you call it? Finding a compromise?
Yeah. Really all he does is just throw himself into harm's way and then the other people saved him. But yeah, he's the closest one we got, so I guess we give it to Worf.
I mean, yeah, I guess Toke is.
Let me ask you this.
Closest to an MVC.
What would we have wanted them to follow up on with the data thing? It just feels like it's a little unresolved. Like it's
yes,
like,
I would have liked a little more Soong. Like what the fuck had Soong programmed in there, you know?
Like what's the
Like if it's okay, if it's like you're learning to dream, Data, explore that a little more. Like what do Data's dreams look like?
What are the ramifications
beyond
of
what
it
they
too?
Are? What are his shutdown patterns? Like how is he dealing with them? Have a conversation with Geordi about dreams. Have a conversation with Troy about it.
Yeah, all he does is try and paint them. That's the only thing he does. And it doesn't really seem to affect him. You know what would have been good is
but
if
like
it,
he has that he does the paintings only because he has that one experience. But then he goes and has another dream. So he
all
should
really
explore
found
that
out
more.
Is a communication with Soong where Soong basically says that he gave him the dreaming ability. But what I think would have been more meaningful is a piece of information that changes his behavior or his perspective from the dream.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Sometimes you have a dream that's either upsetting or it's, you know, something about someone you know or something. You like have a dream that you're like doing this podcast, but you're like trapped in like this kind of cave and just you can't move your arms and they're like little needles stabbing at you and you're like, please, please make it stop. You know, and it's like, what does it mean? What does it mean? And I keep painting it, but nothing ever.
But now that he like had contact with Soong, like that would be very interesting to explore.
That he continues to have contact with Soong.
Yeah. Or
like an Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of a thing.
He continues to interpret his programming in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like because
that, I think that's what I'm looking for is like something that's like, oh, you can use it to do this and then at the end of it.
And also like it does
or he could work through problems
It speaks to what we always say about Data is that he experiences emotion but does not know how to process it.
Yeah. Like what did the crows even mean? What did the three-eyed ravens mean?
They're you know, people have flying dreams all the time, right? So I guess Soong,
do you like your flying dreams?
I guess Soong was like, you'll fly in this one. I don't really have flying dreams, so.
I have a flying dream every once in a while, and I really enjoy it, although I always am a little bit
concerned. I guess I've had them.
No, you're just saying it because you want to be.
I definitely have had them, Andy. I've had them just certainly.
So you can fly, yeah.
Certainly,
yeah.
Like you have had them, and you're totally doing that thing where you. You know, in those dreams that people have all the time. You know, when you're what happens
flying?
You're flying, yeah. When you're flying, what happens in your dreams, Andy?
I usually am enjoying it.
Yeah, sometimes I'm enjoying it too, and then I'm told, keep going.
And I look down on the city. It's usually city.
Usually cityscape for me.
It's better
too.
To have flying. Yeah, it's better.
Are you sure you're dreaming that you're flying and you're not actually just riding the Peter Pan ride in Disneyland?
It'd probably be just as much fun. And but I always think in my head, like, what if I'm going to stop flying at any second and I'm going to fall to my death? But I will myself to stay in the air.
I would will yourself to... you wake up still in flight?
You mean like flying in my room?
100%. That's what
yet.
I mean. That's what I mean. 100%.
I would have mentioned it before.
Oh,
now.
Okay. I mean, I just want to know. Because, you know, it's normal, right?
Dude,
everyone.
I could fly. I never told anybody this. I could fly.
Seems weird that you wouldn't mention this.
Hey, by the way, if we have a fan out there that has access to one of those awesome jetpack things. I'll try it. I'm happy to go and try it anywhere.
Just asking for a jetpack now?
You know, you don't know. A lot of nerds listen to this thing. Maybe
you're
at some point
child.
They'll be like some. Sure.
What about like a one of those water jetpack things?
Did you read that there was a guy on a jetpack flying around LAX recently?
Yeah, 6,000 feet.
So amazing. Is it 6,000 feet?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'll bet you $100 it's Elon Musk.
That does seem like something he would do.
It totally does. But Andy, we also have to say to the audience,
how many Andys does this episode get?
You know, I was starting at kind of a 7, but as we've gone through this again, it's just a little bit of a logy episode. It's just sort of slow. As I said, I like Worf waking up the Klingon and these people. I love digging into the Klingon specifics, love the Kalis stuff. I like that Worf is having a real sort of attraction, which is scaled immediately up to love by both of them. I guess that's a Klingon thing.
It starts at lust, then falls into total disgust.
Right.
And then love. That's how Klingons go.
It's weirdly upsetting to see his reaction to her being Romulan. It's so kind of gross.
I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. But you know what? Even if it was going to be this plot and you weren't going to go back to the Data thing, which I think they should have, as many people seem to think, I feel like there just could have been more action and like conflict and like lean on the Toketh stuff, you know, like him being a little bit more. And even if you're going to land on, okay, he was misguided and his Romulan side got the best of him and, you know, just like go a little bit further with it. It just kind of lays there the whole time.
Yeah, it is interesting to look at it from the POV of like, this guy's a little bit of a megalomaniac here. And yeah, you're all sort of under that spell.
So I think I give it a 6.5.
I'll give it a solid 5. It's very middle of the roady to me. I think the first episode's so much more promising, and it probably would average out to like a 6.5 or 7 for the two episodes together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like it's a little dull, honestly. I always find the Klingon stuff to be a little dull.
Oh, see, I don't agree with that. I love the Ronald Moore stuff.
You don't have to agree with it.
Love the prior stuff.
I'm simply saying that I find the Klingon stuff dull, especially when I am busy flying in my dreams. I always have about
you
flying.
Don't, you're lying. I you always don't have fly.
Well, Andy,
clearly.
I fly in my dreams all the time. You know how those
clearly
go.
You're just probably just playing slot machines.
You're
in a
city.
Dreams.
You're over a city. You're in
you're
a
going
city.
Going back in time to money grub.
I'm just, you know, look, I just don't want to ruin anybody else's life, so I'll just affect my own in a horrible way. Let's hit the trailer, Andy, for 618 Starship Mine, aka Die Hard on the Enterprise.
I had pulled it up. Now let me see. There it is. Got it.
All right.
Ready.
We'll hit play when in 3, 2, 1, play.
During a ship-wide evacuation, alien thieves target the Enterprise.
Stay right where you are.
And the crew is taken hostage in a brutal assault. Now, Picard is trapped alone with the enemy.
Who are you?
But can he stop their deadly plan and save the Enterprise?
I would rather destroy the ship than allow that resin to fall into the hands of terrorists.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Wow! Die Hard on the Enterprise. Yeah, it's just Tim Russ.
Tuvok?
It's not Tuvok. It's just Tim Russ.
Oh, that's a shame.
But yeah, I like that episode. Is this where I do this one?
Hey, Matt, will Andy enjoy this episode?
I think he'll like it a lot, but not as much as me.
And now, guess Andy's ranking.
He'll probably give it a 7 and have a lot more logic issues than I would. There you go. Starship Mine. Thank you all so very much for hanging out with us yet again. And I look forward to wrapping up October with all of you with next week's Starship Mine. Oh, we're getting there, Andy. You realize that the episode after that will be post-election. Can you believe it?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is happening.
Really
an intense time.
It's happening. Everything's gonna be terrible or great. Depends on how you feel about all of it. But in the meantime, I'm gonna go have some pretty cool flying dreams. Definitely, I have those all the time. I'm flying, Andy. Whee!
No, you're not. You're just walking down the corridor.
I'm flying. Don't forget to fold the table up. All right, I'm hitting stop now.
Follow Star Trek The Next Conversation on social media. You can find them on Instagram and Twitter at Star Trek TNC. On Facebook, search for Star Trek TNC and join the Face group. Send comments, questions, prime correctives, and anything else to sttncpod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to leave a voice hail, call 816-TREK-TNC. That's 816-873-5862. For callers outside of the United States, use country code +1. And don't worry, no one answers the phone, it's only for messages. If you've got something to mail to Matt or Andy, send it to Andrew Secunda, P.O. Box 46898, Los Angeles, California, 90046. And please send an email to let them know that something is coming. Finally, to support the podcast and get even more content, visit patreon.com/StarTrekTNC. Be a lieutenant for only $5 per month, or join the President's Circle for $17.01 per month.